As always, Zan Zindagi Azadi, Women, Life, Freedom.
Black, you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
What's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. I'm your host for the evening, Kim Dominique Ferguson, and we have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
I've been walking with my face turned to the sun. Weight on my shoulders, a bullet in my gun. Oh, I got eyes in the back of my head, just in case I have to run. I do what I can when I can while I can for my people. While the clouds roll back and the stars fill the night, that's when I'm gonna stand up, take my people with me. Together we are going to a brand new home, far across the river. Can you hear freedom calling, calling me?
What do you go do when you're feeling like you're falling and you can't find nothing to hold on to? Memories of who carry me go, carry me go, oh no, yeah. Sick at that, yeah, that, pita, take me far away. Mr. DJ, make me try by you. Now I no be just anybody, like me can no be sure. But it only lie, yeah, eh. Make me mad, eh. My head does got, eh. I only mad, eh. But it only lie, yeah, eh. Make me mad, eh. When my whole world is set on fire, don't leave me alone.
What do you go do? What do you go do? When you're feeling like you're screaming really loud, but nobody hears you. I see it in your eyes. I see in your eyes the betrayal and the lies. You've been pulling out knives from your behind.
Yes, yes, yes. We're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and got a little special for you. For the next 2 weeks, we are going to be celebrating Black Love. And through that, we have this week, we have special two guests, two dear friends of mine. They were actually here last year. And next week, we're going to have a relationship expert coming in and talking with us. So let's just get into it. Once upon a time, not so long ago, a Haitian boy met this Trini girl through a mutual friend at work. They became friends, talking about everything and nothing daily. And just like that, Team Titus was formed. They have no idea how long they've actually been together, but for sure it has been cemented on paper that they've been married for 3 years now. Hailing from the Twin Island Republic of Trinidad and Tobago, Rema Huggins has a passion for arts and culture. While pursuing her studies in building engineering at Concordia University, she served as the vice president, then later on the president of the Concordia Caribbean Students Union, which has played a pivotal role in driving awareness and celebrating the richness of diverse Caribbean culture. Also, for those of you who have been here for a while, you'll recognize her voice because she did test the waters as a host on Soul Perspectives a few years back. Cedric Charles Titus was born in Montreal to Haitian parents, but grew up in Aylmer, a city close to Ottawa, currently known as Gatineau. Then he moved back to Montreal to pursue his studies at HEC Montréal and is currently working as a senior business analyst for TELUS. Now 37 years old, Cedric and Rayma got married right before the pandemic in 2020, and they are the proud mother and father of their beautiful baby girl born last January 2022. Cedric and Rayma, thank you so much for being here this evening. How y'all doing?
Thank you,
thank you. Happy to be here.
Yes, yes. How are y'all doing? It's you guys were actually guests for our inaugural celebration of Black Mothers in May last year and Black Fathers in June last year. How have you been since last year, since we last spoke?
Oh, wow.
I would say we've been good overall. Fatherhood is definitely a journey.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of great things about it. You know, there's ups and downs, but a lot more ups than downs. So overall, very happy.
Okay. Rayma?
I've been great. I mean, looking at this chat, you know what? Having a child makes you realize how quickly time passes. So, like, this year has been, or at least the last time, since the last time we spoke, it's been crazy. I started back work, been juggling that aspect of it. And, you know, you have to be a whole parent, a whole worker, and a whole partner to your person. That's been interesting as well.
Okay. So the theme for the next couple of weeks is Black love. And, you guys are one of the couples that I've known for a while now, since I feel like it was in the mid 2010, I want to say 2015, 2016, that y'all got together around about that time-ish. I knew y'all when y'all were friends, which was around 2014, 2015. So it had to happen a little bit after that.
Somewhere there. Yeah.
So the theme is Black love, and y'all are both identifying as Black.
100% melanated. Yes. Yes, sir.
So yeah. when
Wakanda Black.
Wakanda forever. When you hear the words Black love, what does that mean to you? What does that evoke? Cedric, you
for
want
me,
to go
it invokes
first?
Pride.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's like home. I come from Trinidad and Tobago, so we're predominantly Black country. So I have grown up seeing Black love, so it just feels like home.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I guess it's more. It feels like unconditional love, right? Wow. So, as opposed to Rayma, I didn't grow up in a Black people country. You know, right. Canada is a white people country. So, so growing up, you know, because you know, I was fortunate enough to have grown where all my needs were met, and then, you know, in the Haitian culture, it's very important to offer the best education possible to your children. So I ended up going to all those private schools where I was the only or one of the few, you know, Blacks in the school.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that my perception of what is, I guess, attractive to some level as you grow up is defined by what white people like to consider as being beautiful and nice, right? Until I reached a point where, you know, I got to university, and then I got exposed to like all these different cultures of Black people from around the world, where you start getting attention from, you know, from other Black girls because there's so many around. Mm-hmm. And this is when I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then as you start to develop relationship with different people, you see that the cultural gap is a lot smaller than what it is, at least for me, when I was dating, you know, white girls. So to some sense, I can connect to what you're saying in terms of it feels like home, because it's definitely something that you can recognize, that you can, you understand, that's something that you can project yourself, you know, into the future. But more than that, I feel like there is this notion that, it's not a notion. I guess it's just the concept that there's no barriers that exist between you and I, right? Mm-hmm. We come from the same.
We have the same origin story.
Right.
Yeah.
Same origin story. Yes.
There was the Atlantic that happened. There was the continent of Africa, mm-hmm. and then there was these little islands in the Caribbean, mm-hmm. and then we traveled from there. There was a bit of history, correct. A smattering of history that happened. Some of it good, some of it not so good. And then we decided that, oh, we want frostbite. And we came to Canada after that. I don't know how active y'all can be on social media. Being parents, still fairly new parents, because she's only a year and a bit now. But there's a lot going around in terms of, I see a lot of Black love content where people are like, Black folks are like praising one another and praising the beauty of loving one another. But I also see a lot of conflict between Black men and Black women. Do you have like an opinion on this diametrically opposed kind of back and forth that's going on? Is this something that you've given any thought, especially having been in a relationship for almost a decade now?
Honestly, I can't say that I have, but what I will say is I found that for me, when I came here, it was a major culture shock, right?
Right.
I noticed right away that, and it may not be true, but Black men, and I think this is what plays out a lot in social media. Mm-hmm. I noticed, at least this was my perception when I came here. Black men, when they reach a certain level of status, they no longer want to date a sister.
Wow.
They're looking for marrying up and getting into a relationship with someone better than a sister.
Right.
So that was, I found, for me, a lot of the times I'd have conversations, especially in university, I had conversations with guys who would be like, yeah, I'd never really date, I'll date a Black girl, but I'll never marry one.
I'd never wife
or I'll, up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so I think what causes a lot of the strife in between Black men and women, mm-hmm. is that a lot of times Black women feel like we got y'all, and mm-hmm. y'all just don't got us the same way that we got y'all.
Right.
And I don't know that that's true, but it is definitely a perception that happens, and it's definitely something that I guess is a valid feeling. Mm-hmm. Based on us looking around, you don't look at how many we literally praise the Black male celebrities for having Black wives. Why are we doing that?
Yeah.
Why is it not the norm?
Why isn't it the standard?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cedric, thoughts?
That is interesting. So for me, right, I never really thought about that question, and it was never, at least in my, I guess, in my entourage, it was never presented as a, you know, some sort of incompatibility in terms of, you know, Black male and Black woman. I grew up around a family unit that's really, really tight, and I have like a lot of examples around me of, you know, of Black couples that have been together for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, right? So for me, when I was projecting myself in the future, well, this is the image that I have is you know, me with my black woman, living, you know, happy for the rest of my days, and I think I'm on the right track for that. So yeah, I can't. It's hard for me to answer your question. I was never really confronted by that. Mm-hmm. However, I may share something with you.
Yeah.
It might take us off track a bit, but I think it is still interesting. Mm-hmm. So again, when I was in university, and then, you know, starting to get attention from all them young ladies, there was one in particular, right, that I started to speak to, you know, like, we're just having general conversation. You know, it was getting a little flirty, but then she kind of put a stop to it, right? Okay. And her argument or logic or the way that she applied it is that because she considered me as being a light skin, right? I would not be interested in pursuing anything serious with her.
Wow.
So even though it's not what I was projecting at all, or what I was even, you know, I never even thought about something like that. Right. It was a concept that was completely new to me at the time. You know, she made it a point to say that, you know, light-skinned brothers, you know, they're either going to find a white woman or a light-skinned woman.
Right.
While, you know, dark-skinned women should try and stick with dark-skinned brothers, basically.
Okay. So she just had it, her mind made up that the reality is that you're probably going to want a white girl or a light-skinned girl.
Mm-hmm. And then question, what was her experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder like how much of it has to do with the fact of colonialism. And the impact that all of that had on us just historically, because I'm losing the word, but there's like is it genetically transmitted trauma, where it's almost like it's transmitted through your DNA, and it stays in your mind in terms of like, this is the kind of behavior. Like one example I like to give is the Oh, you know, he's not good for nothing. When you try and someone's trying to compliment their child, oftentimes in the Haitian community, we have, you know, someone's paying a compliment to that, monsieur, tête-li cocombe, or they'll say something like that to kind of put down their accomplishments. And it's like, this is something that was ingrained in especially in mothers, because oftentimes the fathers weren't able to stay connected to their families when it came to the enslavement of black folks. Mothers, to protect their child, would like try and downplay their child's accomplishments. So if a child was like picking a lot of cotton, and massa all of a sudden was like, hey, they're really doing good, they will find some way to kind of curb massa's eye and make him not think that, you know, yeah, that's a child that we could probably sell later on or defy from the family. And I wonder if, because, you know, when Massa would rape the enslaved women, they would have light skinned children, and they would treat them with favor, quote unquote. How much favor? That's been like a topic of debate, because some people say, oh, the people who are the slaves that were in the big house, they had it better. Well, not really, because they were actually in closer proximity to the violence and the physical and the psychological violence that they were subject to. But I wonder, like, how much of it is ingrained in their psyche, and like how much of it is actual experience. Because how often do we have moments where you go into something having a prejudice about it because of what you heard or what you saw on TV or something like that, And then when you go and you have this moment, you're like, well, that's nothing. It's completely nothing like what I perceived.
I agree, because when I met him, I had said to him, he started talking to me, I'm like, oh yeah, what? I really don't perceive that I am your type.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, what do you mean? What do you think my type is? And I was like, I don't know, some light-skinned, curly-haired girl, I don't know.
But see, why did you have that perception?
For me, it was because of the experiences that I had in university,
mm-hmm.
where guys of a certain, when they reach a certain level, what they were interested in were mixed girls or white girls. They weren't really interested in being with a black woman.
Right. And Cedric, do you have any friends that you could deny that, or you could kind of like be like, well, I have my boy that he kind of was like, these are, because I've never had, I have a friend of mine, he did marry a white woman, but he's like the anomaly in my pantheon of friends. Like, most of my friends have married black women, and the women friends that I have married black men or are dating black men. So I wonder, because men will talk to men.
Right. Well, okay. So I have several example.
You don't have to call them by
close
name.
Close friends and close family members. Okay. So listen, there are cases where, you know, them brothers, they just like white chocolate. They simply like white chocolate. There's nothing more to it, right?
Okay.
You know, some guys, they like the woman to be thin and skinny. Some others, they like them to be round. And there's all types of different deviation of what you may and may not like,
mm-hmm.
right? But I can think of a specific example where this friend in particular had a few, I would say, I think we can call it traumatic experience, okay. with black girls, right?
Okay.
And I think from that, you know, he decided to venture, you know, on the white chocolate side.
On the light
and
side.
He found, and on the light side, and I guess he found something that he liked there, right? But additionally, what he was telling me is that he felt like he was, how can I explain that? Okay, so the way it was explained to me is that white women are attracted to me.
Okay.
Right? They're attracted by me. So I think naturally, right, you tend to go towards whoever you attract to some degree.
Right.
Right? I think this is one portion of the explanation, but he was put it in contrast to his interaction that he had with black women, right? And I think what the parallel that he was trying to draw is that the white women will come to you, right? And in the sense that you feel like you're desired, while for the black woman, that's again his from his experience, he felt that he had to work to prove something to the black woman before he can be, you know, admitted into a certain level of intimacy where they can develop something.
Right. There was almost like a higher ladder to scale, and
yes.
before being able to get through the front door, so to speak, of
yes. Man. I think that's, yeah.
Wow. Well, ladies and gentlemen, just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Rayma Huggins and Cedric Titus, who are a couple, a black couple, and they agreed to come on the air. They've been married for the past 3 years, have been together for almost, if not a decade, very close to a decade, and they have a beautiful baby girl that was born last year, January. We do have to pay some bills and play some music because we are in Radio Land, but we are talking black love this evening. So keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
There's a lot going on in the world today. See how it affects Montreal's Black and Caribbean community. Read the community contact. News, features, opinions, music reviews, cultural events, and so much more. Our voices, our perspectives, our community. Published every 2 weeks, pick it up at your favorite community spot or visit us online at our new and dynamic website, mtlcommunitycontact.com. Easy to navigate and lots to enjoy. Archived issues also on the site and available on the web. That's mtlcommunitycontact.com. Stay in contact.
Your black hair and your fat ass thighs. It's the way you hold it down to make my nature rise. You got me in the boutiques picking out your size. You make me push it and I can't get it out my mind. It's that body, I can't get it out my mind. Give it up, mind, know that you're down to ride. Hit the dance floor and bounce your hide. You got the bounce of mine and let me know when you're down to slide. I'll tell Ab to swing around and ride. I'll show you how I will grind. I make it splash like a thousand times. I'm like the stars falling out the sky. Big moose. Flaco, make your waist get close. Make it green get smoke, make your cat get stroke. Me and Faye make the track get dope. We stay set and pace in the race, now let's go.
Come on, sugar, won't you give it to me? Come on, baby, won't you give it to me? Make it hot like it's supposed to be. Come on, sugar, baby, give it to me. Come on, sugar, won't you give it to me? Come on, baby, won't you give it to me?
Yes, yes, we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and this week and next week, we will be focusing on Black love. This evening, we have with us a couple that have been officially tied the knot. They put on the ball and chain in 2020. No, not the ball and chain. They just made it public, the expression of their love together. But they've been together for almost a decade, and now they have a beautiful one-year-old baby girl. Cedric and Rayma, thank you so much for being here this evening with us. So before the break, Rayma, you said that when you met Cedric, you didn't think that he would be romantically interested in you. And you were friends for a bit before you decided to take the step into a relationship. At what moment did you realize, oh, he's kind of into me, unlike what I thought?
Huh. Okay.
That is a great question. That is a great question.
He likes the black and the black. He likes the chocolate. He likes the real chocolate, not that thing they call white chocolate.
So, when I noticed, okay, this kind of gets in a bit of our origin story, right?
Please.
So, it was one very specific thing that he did. It was actually the fact that he took time. He paid attention. So we had gone out to, well, it was New Year's Eve. I was working.
Mm-hmm.
I was working the not overnight, but I would finish work at 11:30.
Okay.
So he had messaged me and he's like, "What are you doing for what are you doing for the New Year?" And I'm like, "Oh, I don't know. I'll probably be walking back home by the time I get home." Yep. I'll say Happy New Year to myself and right. I'll go to bed. And he's like, no, you're not doing that. So he had invited me out to a house party.
Mm-hmm.
I would consider that to be our first official date, right?
Okay.
So we had been friends, right? Like, I had never gone out with this dude, so like, I know you, but I don't know you like that,
right?
So it's like, all right, cool, whatever. I'm a little cute. We'll see what happens,
right?
If anything, I'm a Uber home.
Right.
We are right.
You have the contingency plan in place.
Exactly. We okay.
Was Uber alive back then? Or
I'm not even sure it was Uber if I had to take a taxi. Boy, I don't remember.
Whatever. You were ready. You had your money in your pocket.
Yeah. And I took a picture of his face and his license plate and I sent it.
No!
I did it. So we went on this. So we get there. And he was paying attention to conversations that we had. So he's like, mm-hmm. Oh, I know you like white wine. I'm like, oh, I remember you said that you have. And then he goes through, he bought like two or three different types of white wine at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I know you said you like sweets. So then he started explaining the notes of the wine for each different type of wine. He's okay. Like, oh, try this one. Oh, this one is disgusting. Don't drink any more of that one. Try this, whatever. And I'm like, wow, the attention to detail. Like, no man I know is going to go through the trouble of finding specific and getting the information, because he's not a wine connoisseur.
Right.
Right?
Right.
To get all of this information about wine, because I said I enjoy this as a drink, and get all of that to share this information with me, knowing the kind of nerd that I am as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just that attention to detail, I'm like, oh, he is interested. And that was the thing that kind of... Because it wasn't set up as if it were a date. At least he'd never said that to me.
Right.
I only found out years later that he had actually bought a new shirt and went to like three different SAQs to find these wines. But anyway, I digress.
All right. Let's get your side of the story, Cedric.
Listen.
He casually strokes his beard.
Yeah. I was on a mission, right?
Okay, so let me ask you this. When did you know that you wanted to pursue a relationship with Raymond? Because I feel like it was before that December 31st.
Yeah, for sure. It was way before. So for context, Raymond and I, we both work at the same place. But not in the same department. Then at some point, there was some sort of, reorg where we ended up working under the same department.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was providing some training in a different office. I had some friends that had spoken about this beautiful woman that was providing this training and so on and so on. And I was like, you know what? I want to be in that training. So I told my boss, you know what? I think I want to take that training. It'll be good for my career. He's like, okay, all right, I'll send you.
Nice.
Right? And then so
this was even before you met her.
This is before I met her. And then so I get in this training, and you know, we're all sitting in class, and then we're just waiting for the trainer to walk in and start providing the training. And then this white dude comes in and he's like, hello, my name is this and that. I'll be your trainer for the next 2 weeks. I was like, are you serious? I'm like, where is Rayma?
Oh my God. You got sent to the wrong training seminar.
It's not like it was the right one. It's just that they decided to make a last minute change.
Okay.
And it happened that it was this dude were given the training instead of Rima.
Okay.
Right. But anyway, but I'd seen Rima once before. I don't remember I've seen you. Yeah. We didn't meet once before. Right?
We did meet once before with that mutual friend. Shout out to Fab.
So, anyway, so I'm like, well, you know what? I guess I'm stuck in here now for the next 2 weeks. And then on the second day of training, right? The trainer, like, in the middle of something, he stopped. He's like, oh, guys, Let me introduce you to someone. She's actually the one that wrote most of the material for the training.
Okay.
And who walks in? Rema walks in.
Mm-hmm.
And like she walked in like, you know, like a how could I see, like a white dove coming out of the darkness. She was glowing. I remember she had some red lipstick. She had her nice little nerd glasses with her curly hair. And she was wearing like a nice little skirt. My heart stopped when I saw her. I was like, ooh. Mm.
Did hearts come in your eyes?
For real. Yes. I think my nose was bleeding a bit too. And I remember when I saw her, I told myself, wow, I don't mind if this one becomes my wife.
Wow.
And from that day on, I was like, she's going to become my wife.
Okay.
I will make her my wife.
Okay.
So from that point on, it was like, a very carefully calculated exercise of building it up to the point where I knew I had an opportunity to impress her.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I did my research. Mm-hmm. You know, I got the wine that corresponded to what she told me she likes with different option. I did my research on each of the wines, went on Google, tried to learn by heart whatever region it comes from and the particularities
nice.
Of the wine.
So you became an amateur sommelier.
Yes, basically. So Lord. When I got there and I pulled out the bottles and I like, this one is from the region of Basel in Germany where they have this, this and that. And I was like, you know, I was trying, trying to impress the woman.
Of course.
Obviously, it worked.
As Rema rolls her eyes and shakes her head at us. So, Rema, did you know this part of the story?
So, I found out, funny story, I found out our origin story is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Because he mentions about the training and whatever. I had no idea about these things until years later.
Right.
And the reason why there was someone that was talking about me is because apparently there was this other guy who had taken my class and he was smitten, but he never said anything.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
So I had met Cedric once before because I'd gone to a bar with them.
Okay.
The guy,
the group. Okay.
Who's Cedric's friend,
okay.
And our mutual friend Fab, because Fab invited me.
Okay,
but Fab invited me for that other person to try to get that other person to talk to me.
Okay,
and that was the day I met. That was the day I met Cedric. Because and then what he didn't tell you is that when I had walked into the room, I was like, "Oh, I know you," and I walked out the room because I was like, I remember this face.
Mm-hmm.
That's the dude that drives the motorcycle because I remembered his bike.
Right.
Right? Because he couldn't just come in his car.
No.
He had to come.
You have
on
to.
His bike.
He had a plan. You know, he had a plan. And what's better than come into the bar in a very loud motorcycle? And you have to have
uncover.
I bet he had the whole jacket looking like a ninja.
Yeah, everything.
Of course.
I did what I had to do.
But you know what? That to me expresses like what I believe men who are truly interested in a woman will do is they will make the effort. And what I'm feeling from just what I'm gathering from social media is that either men are not making the effort, women are not acknowledging that men are making the effort, or people are just missing the messages completely. You know, because it takes two to tango, and at some point, you know, like if I'm making a pot of soup jumu and you love soup jumu, I make you soup jumu, like it's not rocket science. I'm not making soup jumu because I want to eat soup jumu. It's because I know you love soup jumu. So, you know, if I know you love something, then if I as a man want to impress you, then I'm going to make the efforts to support you. If you, whatever the case is, if it is that you know you love red velvet cake, then I'm gonna get you red velvet cake for no reason. Other than you like red velvet cake. And so when you finally were like, okay, this is my subjumu. Because to me, like, subjumu takes a long time to cook, right? So he had been cooking this pot for you. Once you finally realized that okay, this person wants to take it to the next level, what take us through a little bit of that. What happened next? What was going on next?
Me? Okay. Well, we were friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that part came easy. Once we decided that this is what we wanted, and actually even we were dating for a while, and then I remember I looked at him and I was like, where is this going? What's this plan? Like, I need you to tell me plain, straight. I don't want to have to guess. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, we're in a relationship. What do you mean, what are we doing?
Right.
And I'm like, I'm not making any assumptions, especially in our day and age where you end up in so many situationships because we never actually cleared the air to say X, Y, Z. No.
Right.
Tell me plain and straight, where's the situation?
Right.
And that's what we did.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything just kind of flowed naturally for us, in the sense of, because we were friends, also because we worked at the same place at the time, like, we spent a lot of time together. So we really had a great opportunity, I guess, to get to know each other really well. And then at one point, I think he looked at me and he goes, aren't you tired of me?
Okay.
I did say that.
What made you say that, though?
Well, is because, for the people close to me, they'll know that I like to tease a lot the people that I like and I love,
mm-hmm.
In all sorts of way, and like, she was getting a lot of that. So I had to ask her, like, are you sure this is what you want to sign up for? Because I am annoying as F. Because this is not stopping.
I ain't going to stop. This doesn't slow down later on. It might pick up the pace a bit. Okay.
Like, this dude literally says, when you tell him you're annoying, he says, thank you.
Okay.
That's to tell you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I've been in the middle of y'all's back and forth. So sometimes because I used to sit down and be like, if I didn't know that these two people live together and love one another, I would have think these two people hated each other. Because sometimes the back and forth, I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, oh, comment ça, man? It can get intense sometimes.
Yes.
Where did you pick up this kind of teasing that you do? How did that come about?
That's 100% from my father.
Okay.
My sister and I, we grew up in this household where anything can happen at any moment.
Okay.
It is that my father might do something.
Like pranks and things like that?
Yeah, pranks and things like that. Or, you know, find some way to, you know, to make fun of you. But it was never, like, with ill intention. It was always, you know, as a way to, like, to make you laugh, to make you smile.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to some degree, that was his love language. And I think this is what I got from him. And I'm, I guess, recreating the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And Rema, when he asked you, when he said to you, you're not tired of me, and are you ready for the long haul? Like, what did that mean to you when he said that? And did you actually have to take some time to think about it?
No, because we were together for so long. And, well, when I say together, I mean we were together so often.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't annoyed with him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you're annoying, but I no, I'm not fed up of you.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't come a point in time for us where I'd be like, you go in a different room. I need space from you. We never had that moment. To this day, we haven't had a situation where I'm like, I need space from you. You need to go in a different room. Or we don't do that. We're almost always together, really. We haven't had any... One thing I think that really works within our relationship, and I'll say it this way, is that even if we fight,
mm-hmm.
we've been very intentional, and I know this comes from him as well, no name calling.
Mm.
We don't curse at each other. We don't even really yell at each other. Yes, it becomes a heated discussion, but it's always a discussion that comes to resolution.
Okay.
And we don't, like, we really don't have those kinds of yell, fight, throw things. No, that's not our style of disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
And we're okay also saying that we came to a point where you and I just will never get on the same page with this specific thing. So let's agree to disagree. And that's that.
And move on. And that is a very I feel like that's when you have a level of emotional intelligence that is very high, that you're capable of doing and saying things like that and acting on it. Was this something that was very intentional individually, or was it like intentional in the relationship?
Well, I think it's something that I don't know if you'll agree, but I think it's something that I kind of brought to the table, in the sense that, you know, I put all the cards on the line. I said, listen, for sure, at some point we'll have some sort of disagreement.
Yes.
Right. You know, you're not going to be happy about something that I did, what I didn't do. Same for me. But there's always a way to resolve things if, you know, you're able to take the time to understand your own feelings and understand your partner's feelings at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you come from a point where you want to constructively move forward, then you'll find ways to create, you know, open communication channels where you're able to put everything on the table and say, okay, I understand why you reacted this way.
Mm-hmm.
And let me explain to you why I reacted this way. And then once you have this understanding, you know, it's easier to resolve things and move forward.
Someone's at the front door.
Yeah. But I will take this opportunity. I just want to go back a bit on something,
okay.
Right? Because I remembered why I actually asked that question.
Okay.
And to put things in perspective, right? There was a time when I was younger where... how can I say that? I'd like to entertain files.
Entertain files?
Yes, files. Right? So a file.
He was in all these little situations, trips.
Okay.
Entertain files, right? So.
Okay.
So it would be, you know, I would have a little something with, you know, with a woman. It wouldn't be serious, but it would kind of be like a short term time where, you know, we're kind of dating each other without committing to anything.
Right.
And my cue as to when it needed to end is whenever I felt like, you know, she was invading my space.
Okay.
That was my cue that, okay, it's time to put an end to this.
Okay.
And then move on to the next file.
Oh, right? Wow. Okay.
But this is old Cedric from way back in the days.
Hey, boy!
I wouldn't say that, but yes.
All right.
Right. And then, so yeah. So as you know, this relationship was progressing with Rima, mm-hmm. I realized that she was in my space all the time,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't bother me. It was quite the opposite. I liked to have her in my space all the time.
Right.
So I think this is why I asked her the question. And I said, aren't you fed up of me being in your space?
Right, because you normally at this point in time you would have been like deuces and on to the next one. Right. Okay, well that's very interesting. And we will contemplate that during the break, because we are in radio land and we do have to pay some bills and play some music. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Rayma Huggins and Cedric Titus, husband and wife couple, mother and father to a beautiful one-year-old baby girl. And this week and the next week, we will be talking black love. But in the meantime, keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT.
Whose data? Our data. When you're not paying for a product, you are the product. Especially in web and email services, where multinationals compete to manage your communication so they can make a profit off of the private communication you are producing. Coombit is a worker cooperative trying to help small organizations or individuals get their email, website creation, and website hosting services off corporate services such as Google. For more information, contact us at coombit.org or email at info@coombit.org. That's K-O-U-M-B-I-T. We are not on Facebook.
Everything I touch will turn to gold. Everything I touch will turn to gold. Everything I touch will turn to gold. And it's okay, say what you gotta say, 'cause you don't know, yeah, you don't know it. But everything I touch will turn to gold.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and for the next couple of weeks, we are going to be talking black love. And our guests this evening are Rayma Huggins and Cedric Titus, husband and wife couple, mother and father to a beautiful baby girl, and good friends of mine as well. Thank you so much, guys, for being here. This conversation has been very fulfilling, and I love it.
Thanks for having us.
We have been friends. Rayma, you and I have been friends since 2010, and, like, to me, I consider you to be a sister. I consider Cedric to be a brother. And I know a bit about during the pandemic. Rayma, you had had a miscarriage, and then the blessing of being able to be pregnant again, and then bringing your beautiful daughter to term January 2022. These kind of situations can be very, very tumultuous, very almost relationship ending for a couple, you know? For the most part, especially if both folks are excited about having a baby, welcoming a baby into their life. And I wonder, like, how was it going through, especially the first miscarriage, and then, like, having the doubts about, you know, the second baby is coming, and, you know, like, all of the anxiety that most likely came with that.
You want me to start? I feel like it kind of brought us closer, the miscarriage, to be fair. He had said, because it was the pandemic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before the pandemic, my first appointment, he'd have been able to go with me.
Mm-hmm.
This was smack in the middle of the pandemic. I had gone to my appointments by myself.
Right.
So what he always was for me, and still is, was a great support system. He never really got the opportunity to see that baby or hear anything or anything of that sort, right? So
like the ultrasound, yeah, and the heart
ultrasound, he was in there for any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So for him, I think he's a bit more detached from baby, and he was more looking at how does he support me,
right?
Because he hadn't had it was early on, and he hadn't had that opportunity to really bond with, right, baby at that point. So for him, that wasn't a factor, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
It was more how I felt and how the loss of that baby made me feel, and how it made me, I think you felt a little helpless at some point. I don't want to speak for you, but I think you did.
Yeah, no, it's you accurately described how I felt at the time.
Yeah.
that is exactly it, right? So because of all the pain that you were going through, it made me want to be like a solid support system. I wanted to be there for you. I want you to be confident that you can rely on me to take care of everything while you, while we were going through, you know, how to handle those feelings, the grief and everything, right?
Yeah. And heal.
And healing and just to some degree, because I didn't really have a chance to develop, you know, like a solid attachment, with the baby from the first pregnancy, I guess it was easier for me to detach myself and become that support person.
Right.
Yeah.
Second baby, whole different situation.
Right.
He was involved.
Okay.
Yeah. Indeed. Right. So when it comes to the second baby, it's like I feel like, you know, life is giving us a second chance.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do everything, you know, in our power, in my power, to make sure that this time around, we make sure that everything is as perfect as possible.
Yeah.
I really tried to look at every single details, you know, make sure that there was no stress in her life, make sure that she was comfortable at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that she has a balanced diet. Right. So it was about, like, you know, tipping the odds in our favor as much as possible.
Yeah, because as I recall it, the reason for the first, because you had explained it, Rema, in when we spoke last year, but the reason for the first miscarriage and the potential for miscarriage when you had the second pregnancy was you have a particular blood type, and there, yeah, was some kind of mix-up in terms of, I don't remember if it was like you were ABN or A negative, or it's A positive,
so
or something like that.
So I'm A indeterminate.
Okay.
So that means I don't have the rhesus factor. They're not sure if I'm positive or negative. They,
right,
still do not know to this day. For right now, I'm just a letter with no rhesus.
With a question
factor.
Mark.
Yeah. And usually they check very early on, especially because I had had some bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
The minute I had that bleeding, that was there was an indicator that if I'm actually A negative, which, mm-hmm, is what they treat me as now, there is some antibodies I need to get.
Right.
Some antibodies I need to get.
Right.
no, antigens, because my body would have produced antibodies against the baby.
Right, right.
So there's basically a blood product that I need to get injected to make sure that I don't miscarry, mm-hmm. Which I didn't get because I was under the assumption that I was A positive. By the way, everybody, Human Quebec told me I was A positive.
Right.
So just get yourself tested properly.
Right, right. And it's like, these are not things that you would know, you would think about to get tested for, unless you were in, suppose you were in the medical field in depth. What was it like for you in terms of like mental health, and what were some of the things that you were going through? And then with the second pregnancy, that kind of all of this support, all of the change that Cedric did in order to support you.
So mentally, that was tough. I would say, though, and this is something that I think is important to say, my husband is fantastic, and he was a great support system for me, but postpartum was still tough.
Okay.
Mentally.
Right.
It's just hormonal. Like, the hormones are there, and you don't get a lot of sleep, and then it's normal that you can just go off the rails mentally, and I did. And like, mm-hmm. I had a really tough postpartum time, but I did have an amazing partner who, when I told him, hey, something's wrong, quickly was like, okay, you need to get some help. Let's figure it out together. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, I didn't feel judged. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the thing in terms of, for me, the support that he gave both times, because it wasn't just about the miscarriage, but also postpartum with my daughter, mm-hmm. it made a world of a difference, because that's another point in time that relationships could go real sour.
Right.
That little point in time when you're both sleep deprived, and now there you introduce this little human being where you have no days off.
Right.
And you still, as I said, you still have to be a whole parent,
yeah,
a whole individual, mm-hmm. and a whole partner to someone.
Right.
It becomes tough. It really does become super tough.
Indeed, indeed. I think there were a few key moments where our relationship was really tested.
Okay.
And I remember distinctively, you know, feeling so mad and upset inside. But then I was like, okay, but hold on, Seth. You know, it's your love, it's your woman, the mother of your child. You have to do whatever it takes to make sure that she pulls through, that she's okay at the end of the day.
What were you mad about?
I think I can think of one example. Mm-hmm. So for the first few days of that she was born, she couldn't latch properly on the nipple, right? So she wasn't getting all the intake in terms of
the nutrients,
milk, that nutrient and everything that she should have been taking. Mm-hmm. Right. So this was like a super stressor, if I can put it in those terms.
Right.
Because you like constantly on alert, you know, trying to find any type of little things that might be indicative of a larger issue that might arise from, you know, not getting all the nutrient that the baby should.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this in itself was a whole thing, and it was stressful, and it was complicated to navigate. Mm-hmm. But then it came to a point where, I don't know what I was doing, but for some reason, I think I was trying to take a picture of her while I was holding her, and I turned on the flash. By accident, the flash turned on, right? So mm-hmm. it flashed in her eyes, but her pupil did not move when the light flashed in her eyes.
Right.
Right? So I was like, is that normal? Like they should have, like, you know,
dilated,
super small, yeah, dilated or whatever.
Yeah.
There should have been some sort of response to the light. And you know, I just pull up my phone, Google it, which is probably the worst thing to do because you're always going to find the most extreme cases of,
exactly,
of neural dysfunction, whatever. So, you know, so then you start thinking about the worst of what it could be, right? Mm-hmm. But at this point, it was me being concerned and trying to see, like, okay, so should we go to the doctor and talk about this? Like, is this something that we should flag to the doctor as something that should be checked and everything?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember explaining that to Rema, and she lost it. She lost it on me.
Okay.
It was like, so now you're telling me, after all of this, you're telling me there's something wrong, my baby this, my baby that. And I remember, and I was thinking, well, hold on. I have been supporting you day and night, right? Mm-hmm. Attending to every single need that you have, right? So, and I can't even have a moment, you know, to contemplate if something could be wrong with my child, right? I felt at that moment is like, you know, I was being denied of the opportunity to
address a concern that you might have.
Yeah, to be worried as a parent and have some concern for my child, mm-hmm, right? And I remember distinctly that these are the key moments that I call them, where depending on how I would have reacted to that,
mm-hmm,
it could have a significant impact on the relationship going forward.
Right.
Right, and these are the type of moments where, you know, I introspect, you know, I really have, like, I have to have a time with myself, right?
Right,
where I look at the situation from a bird's eyes view and say, okay, all right, right? So why is she reacting this way?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, okay, this is probably why she's reacting this way. I don't think this is what she really means to say. I don't think this is how she feels. It's probably, you know, lack of sleep, stress, hormones, all of that put together that explains that reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's like a few days old at that time. As you said, mm-hmm, she wasn't latching, so she had lost a bunch of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, she was like a little bit lethargic. So at that point, they had us on high alert. I had to feed her, try to feed her every 3 hours. It was really bad. Like, I wasn't sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Like, by the time I could get, I think I was sleeping in like 30-minute intervals of sleep.
Wow.
So I wasn't really sleeping,
mm-hmm,
trying to get her weight up, because otherwise they would readmit her into hospital.
Right.
Because she has a tongue tie.
Yeah.
So that was tough. I distinctly remember that. And then I came back to him, I'm like, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean that. But I can't think straight right now. And then when you tell me something like this, it's just adding an extra layer of worry for me, because I'm already worried about the fact that she's not getting enough food, and she's not, and she's not, and she's not. So you asking this question,
it compounds the worry and the stress that you're already experiencing, because you're not getting enough sleep. She's not latching. The doctor's telling you they might have to admit her. And correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, all of the things about motherhood, you know, breastfeeding and bonding with your child and all of these things that we see,
all the things
probably going through your head at the same time. And you're like,
yeah, but I also think that at that point in time, we also, and this is when you talk about actually loving a person,
mm-hmm,
you need to also take yourself out of the equation and see something from his point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I am with her all the time. She's dependent on me for food.
Yeah.
When, like, he also needs to bond with his baby.
Yeah.
And when I say something like, you're telling me something is wrong with my child, I'm negating his parenthood.
Yeah.
So it's also learning. And I think that's what it is about love. Love is a choice.
Yes.
Love is an action. It's an act. It's a verb. It's, mm-hmm, an active thing that you do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, it's not passive.
Yeah.
So for me, I choose to love this man,
mm-hmm,
who I've made this life with. And that means at some point taking myself out of the equation and looking at things from his perspective. Mm-hmm. Whether I agree with it or not is completely moot, like whatever. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to empathize. You need to be able to think from somebody else's point of view. And I think that is a crucial part of also loving a person.
Mm. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, in case you are tuning in for the first time, we are having an in-depth conversation with Rayma Huggins and Cedric Titus about Black love and parenthood and meeting one another and how one person's intentions may have been years in the making before the other person realized that, you know, actually, you're the one for me or I'm the one for you. We do have to take a quick break and play some music, pay some bills. We're going to come back and wrap it up. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Real food you want, come to Mango Bay every day.
Real food.
Mango Bay Restaurant, located in the heart of downtown Montreal, 1236 Mackay Street, Suite 201. For reservations, please call 514-875-7082 or visit mangobay.ca. Real food.
Let's get together and feel alright.
I'm the one, I don't need nothing on the side. Said that I was done for good and don't want no more lies. But my phone be blowing up, temptations on my line. I stare at the screen a while before I press decline. But she plants a seed and it still lingers in my mind. Told myself I'm strong enough to shake it and I'm trying. But I'm only human, I know loving you's a crime. If I take this cookie now, one day I'll do the time.
Slip me a Xanny at once. Somebody. I got the earth and the blunt. Smoke. I get the skirt when I want. Skirt. I get the skirt when I want. Skirt. Due to the money aroma. Somebody. My girl, she got a diploma. Smoke. She got white written all over. She got white written all over. All a nigga know is how to fuck a good thing up. Run from the pain, sip lean, smoke tree up. When I'm in your town, press pound, hit me up. When I'm in your town, press pound, hit me up. Only if you down and you slurp good D up. If the work good, I'll be back for the re-up. Hate when I creep and the phone wake me up. Fake like I'm sleep, knowing damn well I be up. Monkey on my back and I walk 100 miles. Guilt make a nigga feel fake when he smile. Love get confused in the mind of a child. Cause love wouldn't lie like I lie and it's wild. Wanna have my cake and another cake too. Even if the baker don't bake like you. Even when the flavor don't taste like you, so I'm back mobbing with the late night crew. All in your mind with fears that would come true. Back of my mind, the back of my mind was you. Wishing that I could blind myself from view. And only advise, and only advise for you. Slip me a Xanny at once.
Somebody.
I got the earth and the blunt.
Smoke.
I get the skirt when I want.
Skirt.
I get the skirt when I want.
Skirt.
Due to the money aroma.
What did it go on the show? When it was people.
Is more dangerous. A brother with nothing to lose or a brother with everything to lose. One thing that I know for sure is y'all brothers is lame to death. Kamikaze, your body, allow me to honor and I'll make it painless. You jokers are shameless. Fuck being famous. I'm in the cut like a chore. Draped like an apron for lore. Music like drugs and it runs through my pores. Tripping like I am on tour. Bumping like a motherfucking cold sore. No more. Will I wait for my fate at the gate with a plate till it's too late? Satiate my state. Let me unwind and rewind to my grind. What's the design? Nah, I'ma make it. How I'ma make it, homie. I cannot forsake it. The feeling like an infant, baby. You can never shake it. Stay fresh. Get the squeeze and no orange juice. A lot of people got a real problem with the truth. And if you banging and you hanging and you want a noose, whoop, Johnny, whoop, Johnny, Jack, bam. Come in the place like I am the man. Paint a picture with the violence like I'm Sun Tzu. Kung Fu, doing things, homie, you could never do. I've been through things motherfuckers never knew. Then they check me, try to test me, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back for the final time this evening, but not the final time. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. And we are talking black love this week and next week. And this week's guests are a couple, Rema and Cedric. They are husband and wife. They are mother and father to a beautiful baby girl that was born in January 2022. We've been going on a journey back and forth of Cedric's plan before he even met her to get her. And Rema is finally figuring it out on December 31st / January 1st. We don't know the year. It doesn't matter. All we know is that 3 years ago, they did decide to tie the knot and make it official. Thank you both very much. One of the things that the pandemic has afforded me is hearing stories and hearing full stories, as opposed to Rema. You remember back in the day when we had guests, you know, it would be like a little quick 5-10 minute segment with a guest, and we wouldn't be able to dive into stories and get really into the meat of it. But we are concluding the show, and I wanted to know, what is some advice that you would give some young folks now about building friendship that leads into a relationship? And okay, let me give y'all a moment to digest that question, because it's a big question. But why I ask is because I find that a lot of people are like into that quick, fast relationship, get to like the intimacy and the sex and, you know, the happy part of it, but the people are not interested in building a friendship. And I feel like there's a thin line between friends and romantic partners, and that thin line is where you cross a line into intimacy. And intimacy is not only just about sex, it's also about like getting to know a deeper part of each other, spending time with one another, learning how to be with each other. And I find that people are quick to jump into a relationship, but they don't have a foundation built on friendship. And it seems like you guys kind of built a foundation on friendship, even though, Cedric, we know that from the beginning you was like stars in your eyes, nose bleed, boodoom boodoom, heart coming out of your chest type of situation.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna be brutally honest here. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's like a one formula or just one way, one specific model that needs to be followed in order to find happiness in a relationship.
Okay.
I think for Rema and I think we were very lucky to some degree where it seemed like everything flowed naturally. Everything was like organic, in a sense that I didn't really have to work hard to develop that friendship, to become friends and all that stuff. But mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that she's the prettiest woman in the world probably helped a little bit.
Right.
But again, in all honesty, when I first started to invest myself in this, I was willing, you know, I was gonna get whatever I could get. So even if, you know, she said, you know, I'm not interested in pursuing a relationship with you, but, you know, I'm okay with, you know, having fun on the side with you, I would have been fine with that too, right?
Right.
So I'm just being honest here, like
you were like, all of my chips are in. I'm here for the ride.
Yeah. And then, you know, that one day where she really asked about the nature of our relationship is when in an instant I made a decision, and based on what I'd known about her, the way that I came to know her at that point was that if at that point, I was to tell her that, you know, I was only in it for something casual. Mm-hmm. That would probably would have been the end of us.
Right.
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 But then in that split second where she asked me a question and looked at me dead in my eyes, I was like, nah, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with saying that I'm willing to engage myself into something serious.
Right.
Right. And I did it with all the confidence in the world that it was going to work out. Mm. Or at least I was going to put in the effort to make it work out.
Right.
So for me, it's hard to give advice. I would say,
okay, something general that you think
maybe
would
something
be
general is. What I would tell young Cedric, jeez, there's a
put
lot
the
of
files
things
away,
young Cedric.
But you know what? If he didn't have that filing system, y'all probably wouldn't be together now. So,
yeah, I would say be honest with yourself, mm-hmm. right, and be honest with whoever you're building something with, mm-hmm. so that you can both understand where you stand and how you can move forward if you decide to move forward. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in a lot of cases there's this miscommunication where people don't necessarily have the courage to say what needs to be said because they're afraid of losing something.
Right.
But when you reach a certain level of maturity and you understand how your own actions have impact on other people's lives and everything.
Yeah.
You try to make it so that everything that you do has a meaningful and positive impact on other people's life, even though the outcome might not be the one desired by the opposite party. But,
right.
So,
Rema, could you give some advice on your side of things?
Yeah. Don't be afraid to try and to be open. I think often, and this is not just in love, we miss opportunities, even in friendships, to be open. And to me, the foundation of any relationship is open communication.
Right.
The foundation of any intimacy is open communication. Mm-hmm. Like, even when you build a friendship with someone, there's a level of intimacy.
Yep.
So, yes, when you move into a situation of romantic partnership, the intimacy is just tenfold. Mm-hmm. But in a friendship, there exists intimacy, and maybe you should practice that intimacy in the friendship and not be afraid to be open. Mm. Yeah, it might mean that you might get hurt, but I promise you, what you will build by being open and honest will be so much more beautiful than anything that can break you. Mm.
I think that's a beautiful way to end that, this week's segment on Black Love. Thank you both so much for sharing your story with us, sharing some of your advice and your journey. I think it's important to hear these kind of stories personally. It's motivating to me. You know, I'm about to get back into the love pool at some point in time. So, you know, I need some hope because it's looking hard in these streets sometimes. But ladies and gentlemen, so we are talking Black Love. We had with us Cedric Titus and his wife, his partner, the mother of his child, Rema Huggins. And yeah, next week we'll be talking more Black Love. Thank you so much for listening, folks. Thank you, Cedric and Rema, for coming and chatting with us. We're gonna tune out, log off. So if you want to hear the rest of the show, if you didn't hear it from the beginning, you can log on to ckut.ca at 8:31 and listen to the archives. If you are a regular, you know that we are here from 7 to 8:30 p.m. every Tuesday evening. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. I've been your host, and you've been listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Are you a tenant in Montreal? Do you have questions about your rights? Your local housing committee can help. To find the housing committee for your neighborhood or for more resources, go to www.rclalq.qc.ca.
I'm stuck, cause I don't understand why you love me so much. Always for why can't we get over it and get back to loving and fucking and shit. It's vicious. B is for vicious. When you get angry, I'm all kinds of bitches. And then the E is for every time it happens, I wanna quit. But I love you so much, the cognitive dissonance. Kissing you is easy, ay, making love is easy, but loving you ain't easy, ay, easy, so loving you ain't easy, ay, I really thought it would be, yeah, but loving you ain't easy, ay, trying not to fall apart, doing everything I can. And I know it's what's best, but it hurts the worst. It's a competition, see who gon' call who first. Holding out ain't easy. Missing you is easy.
Coffee come in like a rapture, and everybody get captured. Play sleep up like helicopter, when them see the lyrics come chapter.
Temperature for them, see. Me know the man, fi, but friend me fi envy. Yo, I force me see people around me so plenty, but me pocket na empty. Me need space, so Lord, yeah, me see them and watch me to a cop now. I must see through me everything for lockdown. Sitting in a the bed, ni bikini and the century, I drench me, but fi me fire go blaze. And I see him way, so me see the enemy, I protest. Oh, and him could come the closest. No, I can feel still I do the most. I want me to put in the work and trust the process. Oh, yes, that's how we grind right now. Coffee with the prime time flow. Time for we accumulate the kinds I know. And me say, give me the signs like, whoa. Coffee come in like a rapture, and everybody get captured. Play sleep up like a helicopter, when them see the lyrics come chapter. Coffee come in like a rapture, and everybody get captured. Play sleep up like a helicopter, when them see the lyrics come chapter. No, them say coffee, but you are all fidget, girl. But when me speak lyrics, me don't fidget with it. Y'all did it, gold with it, let me go dig it, bro. Me find the medi, me not tell it from was a child.
You that's listening, do you want to beef up your knowledge on all that is Caribbean Carnival? The costumes, the movement, the music, Then join West Can Folk Performing Company on their journey, that is the project. Carnival is mass movement and music. Log on to westcanfolk.com and register. That's westcanfolk.com. Join the tribe. That's Carnival is mass movement and music. This is a CKUT co-presentation.
CKUT's annual funding drive is back and taking place from March 17th to March 26th. We have exciting new merch available for our donors, including t-shirts, tote bags, and baseball hats. Thanks to the generosity of this year's sponsors, CKUT will also be serving up a selection of scrumptious prizes for those who donate over $30. This year's sponsors include Pop Montreal, Encore Books and Vinyl, RIDM, CNL Cycle, Cinéma du Palc Beaubien and du Musée, Adam Hart, Cinéma Moderne, Just Seeds, Au Vivre, Festival du Nouveau Cinéma, Putting Edge, Mutech, Death of Vinyl, La Rama, Le Seltzer, Dispensaire Microbrasserie, Logé Lyon, Pizza Bouquet, Drawn and Quarterly, and Constellation Records. CKUT would like to thank our sponsors for supporting another year of people-powered community radio. For more details on prizes and to donate, go to ckut.ca/donate.
Ascoltate emissione della radio Marcaro, Pennoise 5,3 FM CKUT.